Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Lord of Life. I am Pastor Joel, and it is my delight to welcome you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online. Thank you so much for making this worship experience a part of your day. And speaking of today, let's get the most important thing noted first. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms and grandmas and all of you who have a mothering role. I hope you have a wonderful and beautiful day and are able to know just how appreciated you are. So maybe you are celebrating Mother's Day and you're thinking, boy, what I'd really like for Mother's Day are a lot of announcements in church. You're in luck. So I'll try to make this as painless as possible. Most importantly and most interestingly, we are going to hear the story as we've been doing since September, and we are at the wrap-up and celebration part, so we are having fun in worship today as a way to put a bow on this incredible experience over the last several months. So just be aware that there will be a fun interactive time that will be coming up, so I'll let you know when you're going to need your phones ready for a fun part of worship. And there's prizes involved, so you're going to want to participate. Also, please know that outside of the sanctuary in the narthex, there is a board that has three different questions that you are invited to write your response on a post-it and stick it on the board. So a question like, who is your favorite character that you encountered during the story? And so you can put your response up on there, and it's just fun to see what the community comes up with. Also, out in the narthex, there's a resource table. So if you're wondering, so now what? What are the next steps I can take in getting to know the Bible? There are some study Bibles, and there's some books and other resources, and a handout with a list of podcasts and other resources that you can put to good use. So again, check that out following worship. And the last thing to check out in the narthex is that we do have copies of the story available. We're done with this deal. So these are free for your taking. So maybe you don't have a copy and would like one, pick a copy up for yourself. Or maybe you know of a friend or a family member who you think would enjoy having a copy of the story. Those copies are out there. Please feel free to take one for yourself or for someone you know. Or heck, someone you don't know. Just give it anonymously to someone, whatever it takes. A couple other notes. Immediately following worship, there will be a congregational meeting. We're trying to go for about 2 minutes to make this thing happen, but it is important as we elect the new members to our congregational council. So although you'll be sent at the end of worship, don't go anywhere. 2 minutes later, the donuts will still be there. No worries. But thank you for that. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, our friend Pastor Jeff Nierbass from Gethsemane Lutheran Church will be presenting on the power of food and the food ministry that they're doing in North Minneapolis. So 6 o'clock tomorrow night right here at Lord of Life. On Tuesday night, if you are interested in being a part of the exploration process with Peace Lutheran Church of Plymouth, there are friends who are interested in becoming a part of Lord of Life. You can RSVP at lordoflife.org to be a part of a discernment meeting this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday, there is going to be a really fun breakfast, and it is in honor of all of our church school and confirmation leaders who have given so selflessly and devotedly of their time and talents over these months. So we want to say thank you to them. Everyone is welcome to the breakfast, but it's in honor of those volunteers. So just note, while there will not be donuts, we're doing it one better next weekend. We are going to have pancakes and eggs, and it's just going to be awesome. So next Sunday, note that. Then also, if you are interested in learning more about being a part of our next tiny house project, May 22nd, 5 p.m., there's an informational meeting. You can learn more again at lordoflife.org about that and everything else God is doing in and through this community. Thanks to all of our musicians who are leading worship today, Derek Craig and the Canticle Choir for the gift of music that you bring, and David for your leadership of the bells and the bells and everything else we got going on. My colleagues, Pastor Karen and Pastor Caitlin, everyone else who's serving, thanks again to you, and most importantly, thanks be to God for the gift of today and the gift of this community. So let's stand together and let's sing.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Jesus, like fruit that is connected to a vine, you invite us to stay connected to you. Even more, you invite us to abide in your love. Help us make our home in your love so that we can love other people as you love us. We give you thanks and pray in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. Today's first reading is Psalm 98. We will read it responsively. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All of the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth, the world with righteousness, and the peoples with...
Thanks, Diana. So you can get your phones ready. It's not quite going to be time. We're going to do a Kahoot. So there's three ways to get there. If you've got the app, like from school or whatever, you can pull that up. You can scan that QR code, or you go to the website, kahoot.it. This is just your chance to get your phones ready so you're prepped, because we will do the quiz in just a short bit, because first we actually have a gift from our kids' choir to us, which if we pay attention, they're going to tell us the answer to the first question on the quiz. So have those phones ready, but first from our kids. All right, get those phones ready, and we'll have the Canticle Choir sing. No, all right. They're going to sing the New Testament books. But we'll give you a couple more moments to get logged into the quiz. When you get there, you can use your real name. You can make up a name. Please keep it clean. And then you put in the game pin. We've got just a 10-question quiz. This isn't a softball. These aren't puffy questions. But just to see how we've been paying attention to the story, kind of what we know about the Bible. We'll just give folks a couple more moments as we have people logging in. And like I said, we've got prizes for first, second, and third place as we go along. So the more quickly you give the correct answer, the more points you get for each question. And just know that that's all right. All right, so we are going to get rolling right now. 10 questions. The theme is the celebration of the story. That's why we're here. The tension mounts. 3, 2, 1. Question number one, which is not a book of the Old Testament? The kids told us which were. But which one's not? Nehemiah, Zephaniah, Hezekiah, or Zechariah? Which one of those four is not a book of the Old Testament? You get 20 seconds. The timer's on the left. Then as the answers roll in, you got about 3 seconds left to lock in your response. And Hezekiah is not a book of the Old Testament. Hezekiah was a king in the Old Testament, so you're probably thinking that. Nate has taken an early lead. All right, question number two. What is the correct order of the Gospels in the New Testament? Is it Matthew, Luke, Mark, John? Is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Is it John, Mark, Luke, Matthew? Or is it John, Paul, George, Ringo? Which is the correct order of the Gospels? Couple seconds left. The correct order is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Two of you chose the Beatles. You might be in the wrong church. Nate is still in the lead. Howard coming up. All right, next question. Question number three. What is the fourth commandment in our Lutheran memory? This is for our confirmation students. Seventh and eighth graders have been studying that. Is the fourth commandment honor your father and mother? Is it you shall not kill? Is it you shall not commit adultery? Or is it you shall not eat broccoli? And remember, this one, which is, not which one do you wish were the fourth commandment? A few seconds left. The fourth commandment, it is Mother's Day, so honor your father and mother. And where are we now? Princess Peach, we have a Nintendo stand, a Mario stand in the crowd. Next question. Can you spot the good king among the bad kings? Manasseh, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, Josiah. In the Old Testament, there are all sorts of kings. Almost all of them were noted as bad kings. There were a few good kings. Which one of these four was a good king? Manasseh, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, Josiah. A couple seconds left. The answer is Josiah was the one good king in that group. And now we have Annalise coming up. Next question. I got to tell you, no one has gotten this one right yet. What does manna mean? Think about the Exodus. Does manna mean bread, blessing, food, or what is it? So this is a story from the Exodus. What does manna mean? The word manna. So if you're a Hebrew scholar, you know, I don't know if we got any of those in our midst. Correct answer is, what is it? The word actually means manna. What is it? It's a question. And, well, not much movement. Next question now. Okay. We have another, this is a story one. Who's the queen of beauty and courage? Is it Esther, Ruth, Jezebel, or Lydia? This is one of the chapters of the story called The Queen of Beauty and Courage. Which one of these four women was noted as the queen of beauty and courage? A couple seconds left to lock in. It is Esther, the queen of beauty and courage. Ah, Petey. Taking a leap, Petey, Peg, and Cucumber. I love it. All right, now we're moving to the New Testament. Where was Jesus crucified? Gehenna, Golgotha, Gennesaret, or Green Bay? Where, oh, where was Jesus crucified? So, if you paid attention during Holy Week, the answer as it comes up is Golgotha, the place of the skull. Six of you chose Green Bay. That may be projection. I don't know. Peg is now in the lead. We're in the New Testament for the rest of the time. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, go therefore and make what? Make church members. Make a joyful noise. Make pancakes or make disciples. What is the Great Commission from Jesus? What does Jesus tell us to go, therefore, and make? Matthew 28, verse 18. Go, therefore, and make disciples. A couple of you haven't eaten breakfast yet. You want those pancakes. Next week, though, we got pancakes. Next week, we got pancakes. All right, question number nine. How did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Tears of holy water, tongues of fire, teeth of ice, or ears of corn? How did the disciples, the birthday of the church, the day of Pentecost, how did the Holy Spirit make the Spirit's self known to the disciples? Which one of those four was it? A couple seconds left. It was tongues of fire. Yes. One more question. Last question. Which of these four things did Jesus not say? He said three, didn't say one. Love your enemies. You cannot serve both God and money. God will never give you more than you can handle, or you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus did not say which one of those things. Which one do you think it was? It was, God will never give you more than you can handle. Jesus never said that. So, to the podium. First, we have Chris with a K. All right. Second, we have Peg. And first place, it is, drum roll please, Cucumber. All right. Now you got to identify yourself. So who's Chris with a K? Where are you? Where are you? We got prizes. So everyone there gets a Lord of Life t-shirt, loved by God, sent to serve. Peg, who's second place. And then first place, Cucumber. You can exchange sizes out at the table. Who's Cucumber? All right, Cucumber's back there. And Chris is back over there. You can exchange shirt sizes. And first place, you also get to choose one of the books that's out on the resource table. So thank you all for playing. You are all incredible people. So we had fun with that, and we get to hear then, on the heels of that, some of just the most moving words that Jesus perhaps was ever recorded to say. So I invite you to please stand as you are able, as today we hear the Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said this to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, friends, we did it. We did it as a community. We went the entire way from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end, hearing the entire story. So whether you were here from the beginning, perhaps reading along in the story every week, or maybe you came into the journey partway through, or came and went over the months, or even if today is your first time even hearing about this, just know you are an important part of this. We're all together having a great reason to celebrate. We've heard the arc of God's salvation story, from the creation of it all to the triumph and turmoil throughout the Old Testament, to the coming of Jesus Christ and his life, death, and resurrection, to the beginning of the Christian church. Over these months, we have heard some very familiar stories and some wildly unfamiliar ones. We've encountered prophets whose names are difficult to say. We've encountered kings whose motives are difficult to stomach. We've heard words of warning and promise. We've heard of God's love and faithfulness. We were embraced by the faith of Christ and the possibility for new life and new hope. So thank you all for going on this journey. And I do today want to extend a special word of thanks to our worship and music team, to David and Derek and Dana and Brian, because they had the daunting task of trying to find music to go along with the weeks of the story. I mean, imagine finding music about the book of Ezra or a choir anthem connected to the prophet Haggai. Those things don't exist. Our musicians went above and beyond this year in order to make worship so meaningful, and I am so grateful for your work. Thank you so, so much. So as we celebrate our experiences, we wrap up our year with the story. Today, I just want to highlight what I hope are a couple takeaways for us, and then what's our next step? Where do we go from here? So among our takeaways, I hope that we have an idea both of what the Bible is and what it is not. So the Bible is not, for instance, an owner's manual. Now, sure, we know owner's manuals, they're useful. But think of the owner's manual, say, for your car. Think of when you use that owner's manual. My guess is pretty rarely, and usually only when there's a problem. Typically, those owner's manuals just sit around in our glove boxes unused, or nowadays, I guess they're just PDFs somewhere in the cloud. So let's be clear, the Bible is not an owner's manual. Additionally, the Bible is not an answer key. Now, sure, the Bible has answers to all sorts of questions, but there are lots of really good and really faithful questions that we have that the Bible is not interested in answering. So, for instance, when we try to make the Bible do science, it's going to fail miserably because it's not interested in answering those questions. Or maybe we run into something like this. Maybe you wonder, you know, how do I deal with some difficult people in my life, or people who act foolishly? Well, we can turn to Proverbs 26, verse 4. Proverbs 26, 4 actually answers that. What do we do with fools? It says, "Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you will be a fool yourself." All right, got it. Don't answer the fool. Seems like a straightforward answer. Proverbs 26, 4. Until you read Proverbs 26, 5. Which says this, "Answer fools according to their folly, or they will be wise in their own eyes." Two verses next to one another that say the exact opposite thing. That's not an answer key. So, we're not going to make the Bible something it's not. The Bible is not an answer key. Kind of related to that, y'all know what this is? It's a Rubik's Cube, right? All right, well, take a look at this. And we'll see. So that's it all mixed up, all messed up. Anyone solve a Rubik's Cube if I mess this thing up? Anyone come up and solve it? So, you know, the Rubik's Cube, is like when I was a kid, the only way I solved this thing is I peeled the stickers off and I stuck it back on so it was all on the right side. This is my son, Ian. He actually knows how to solve a Rubik's Cube. So he takes this thing and he's in control of it, because those that know how to solve Rubik's Cubes, one of the most effective ways is you have to know what the algorithms are. So if you just process the algorithms in the correct order, you go through the order of the steps that are needed, and you know how to manipulate the cube, and so then you move it, you know how to move it, you know where to move it, so that you get it all the way complete. Yeah. But let's be very clear. Puzzles are fun. Rubik's Cubes are fun. But the Bible is not a puzzle to be solved, because that puts us in control of it. That's not the way the Bible works. We have had a couple of millennia of history with the Bible, with all sorts of brilliant minds that have engaged it. And it clearly shows us that the Bible is not a puzzle to be solved. We would have figured it out by now. Okay, so that's what it isn't. So what is the Bible? Well, for one, the Bible is an excellent conversation partner because we bring our experiences and perspectives to the Bible, and we're offered the Bible's perspective as well. At times, it can be comforting, it can be challenging, it can be provocative, it can be promising. But it's a back and forth conversation for any one of us with Scripture. And even more, the Bible's even better with more voices around. That's why group Bible studies are so important. And that's why so many of you have experienced in your faith-filled conversations with groups of people this year, with the Bible and with your fellow followers of Christ in conversation with one another. The Bible's a great conversation partner. And what else? Well, Martin Luther famously said that the Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid. That is, just as we hear about that manger wherein the baby Jesus was laid on Christmas, the Bible is the manger, the cradle that brings Christ to us. The Bible, for instance, contains four different points of view and pictures of Jesus through the four Gospels. What were they again? John, Paul, George, and Ringo? Oh, no, it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those Gospels, their stories overlap at times, yet they each tell the story in a different way, from a unique, different perspective. Stories about who this God is, who comes to live among us as one of us. That's our unique Christian message, that God has come to us to live as one of us. And with the Bible being the cradle that bears Christ, it's important for us to hold on to this. Jesus is the clearest picture of God we have. So if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Really, that's what we hear Jesus telling his disciples, telling us in today's gospel. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." We can trust that through Jesus we are connected to the vine grower, the one who creates, sustains, saves, and sends. And I hope that each and every one of us holds on to these words of Jesus that we heard a few moments ago. When Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Which is incredible. Complete joy. Complete joy. That's what Jesus offers us. And he connects that joy with keeping his commandments. And he very helpfully shares just what that means. Jesus gives us the next steps forward. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Love one another. As a congregation, that's exactly where we're headed. This past year, we've heard the story. We've focused on our discipleship practices of worship and learn. We have our five discipleship practices here at Lord of Life: worship, learn, serve, give, and invite. And in the coming year, after we have spent this year hearing the story, in the coming year, we will live the story. We will intentionally lean into our discipleship practices of serve and give. We'll take what we've heard and learned from the story and put it into practice by loving one another. So I hope that you'll keep the Bible as a conversation partner, and that you'll keep encountering the clearest picture of God that we have. You'll keep encountering Jesus Christ, that you will abide in him, abide in his love. Because through it all, God continues to invite us into this new life and its new experiences, making our joy complete for the sake of the world God so loves. So again, thank you for taking this journey through the story. I am so excited to see just where God leads us next. Amen.
Please stand as you're able for the prayers of the church. After each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with hear our prayer. Let us pray. Jesus, you say, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. May your love heal us, renew us, and bring an end to any kind of prejudice in our churches and communities. Let everyone know your goodness by the love we show one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amazing God, the world is your handiwork, displaying your creative impulse. Seas are filled with life, forests reach up to praise you, and the mystery of life lies deep in the soil. Guard and keep this world for the well-being of all your creatures. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for moms who do their best to care for their children with tenderness and joy. Give moms rest when they're tired and grace when they're crabby. Mother's Day can be painful, so we ask you to comfort those who have lost a child, struggle with infertility, or are spending their first Mother's Day without their mom. Remind us all, O God, that your love is shown in many ways and through many people. Help us be messengers of your love today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give safe haven to those who seek peace and healing. We pray especially for Gail Nichols and Peter Kamenowski. We pray that all people might experience your loving presence and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you for the gift of baptism, and we pray for Audrey and Ethan, who are baptized this weekend. May their lives and ours reflect your unending love for the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace with one another.
All right. Well, as Pastor Joel has mentioned, we have worked our way through the story Bible. Right there. And it has been quite the journey, working our way chronologically through Scripture. What's made it even more meaningful has been these field guide study guides that we've had all year long. Each chapter has had wonderful discussion questions, possibilities for reflection, and helped to make the year a little less intimidating. They're all available on the website if you're still working your way through the story. So thanks to your gifts, we are able to create this resource that has impacted so many lives. Thank you. The offering will now be received in any of the ways listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates if you are in the sanctuary. If online or text to give makes sense for you and your family, please feel free to pull out your phone as an act of worship. And again, thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you.
Lovely. Please stand as you are able. Giving thanks for these gifts, please join me in this responsive prayer. God of abundance, we offer these gifts to you. May the gifts we give here and the gifts we give online further the good work of your Holy Spirit in the world. Bless these gifts and guide us to use them faithfully. Help us to live generous lives, trusting that in you there is always enough. Amen. And as you go into your week, may God's love go before you, Christ's blessing be around you, and the Spirit's joy abide within you. Amen. Children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world. And please stay for the congregational meeting happening right now. It'll take about 2 minutes. If you need to go get kids from church school, I invite you to go do so. But if you're able to stay, please stay, and I'll invite our council president forward.